Good Monday evening and welcome to another edition of the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton. And I hope you're enjoying the evening out there, and we have a wonderful programme put together for you tonight. We're going to meet Jerry Carthy from Castlebar, and he's going to talk about his music. Jerry is based in Santa Fe, but originally from Castlebar, and he spent a lot of time in the emerging music scene in Galway in the early 1970s. And we're also going to talk to Des Kennedy, and Des has hosted two tours of the Gardens of Ireland, and he'll be speaking of his trips at the Ottawa Botanical Garden Society, which is coming up on May 13th. And we'll also be filling you in on some of the events that are coming up. This program is coming to you live on Chin 97.9 FM. It's also streaming on the internet at www.chinradio.com and also at my website, thegaelichour.ca. On my website, you will find archives going back to September of 2005, where we have the magazine programs stored and available to you as audio files. So if you go on there, you can click on the archives and it'll lead you through. In addition, we keep a playlist up there. So the music that we play on the program, the listing is available so you can see what CDs we take it from. And we also have a calendar. And in the calendar, I try to list some of the events that are coming up to keep you informed. And of course, there are a lot of regular events that go on. And every Monday evening, Cultus Sculptori Éireann, they have their Irish dance and language classes at Blessed Sacrament, and that's over 194 Fourth Avenue. And the seniors group of the Irish Society have a drop-ins, and that is over at St. Margaret Mary's at Sunnyside in Fairburn, and that's between 11 o'clock and 2 p.m. So nice way to spend your lunchtime. And on Wednesdays, Cultus then have set dance classes, and they're at Villa Marconi, 1026 Baseline Road in Nepean. And the Ottawa Gaels are back training on Wednesday evenings at Uplands Gaelic Park, and that is at 6:30, and that's out there near the Hunt Club Road. In addition to that, I have to tell you that if you want some entertainment, you head down to the Heart and Crown, either on Preston Street or the Irish Village in the Market, and you'll get live music every Wednesday to Saturday night. And I want to thank the Irish Village for their continued support of this program. Without their help, we would not be on the air. But one of the things that is coming up in the coming week, and that is a date to put in your calendar, on the 9th, Friday the 9th, down at the Poorhouse on York Street. The Ottawa Gaels have their adult registration and a season launch. And then on Saturday is a big day. There's a lot going on. The British Isles Family History Society of Greater Ottawa, they have their monthly free lecture, and that's over at Library and Archives Canada, and it starts at 9 a.m. And then there's Gaelic football training at 11 a.m. out at Gaelic Park and Hunt Club Road. And the Ottawa Irish Rugby Club are back with their boots on. The ladies are playing Napanee, and that is in the Eastern Ontario Rugby Union League. That's an away game. And at 3 p.m., the Ottawa Irish Rugby Club are playing the Ottawa Indians, and that's out at Twin Elms. And this Saturday night, coming up on the 10th, it's a week early, but get out there. The Cultus Ceilidh is at 8 p.m., and that is at 194 Fourth Avenue in the basement of Blessed Sacrament Church. And don't forget, on Sunday next, that is the 11th, the Irish Canadian Cultural Centre have their pancake breakfast, and that will be going on between around 10 to 11 o'clock. Sometime around there, you can head down St. Bridget's at Patrick Street and Cumberland.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM. And recently, a friend of mine, going way back to my school days, got in touch with me and told me a friend of his was a good musician out in Santa Fe. And there was a guy by the name of Jerry Carthy. And Jerry is from Castlebar. And Jerry has been active in the music industry from before he left Ireland to when he arrived in the US. Jerry Carthy, welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Thank you, Austin. How are you doing?
I'm not doing too bad at all.
Great to hear from you.
So, you had a circuitous route to where you are today. You're from Castlebar.
The main street, and as they used to say, the farther you go, the meaner it gets.
And you grew up in Castlebar, and you got your feet wet in the music industry in Castlebar.
I did indeed, yeah. My parents owned a pub there in the 50s.
Okay.
So that was, I mean, the first music I heard was travelling musicians, you know, just come into the pub.
And you...
Then at the school then, the De La Salle Christian Brothers School, there was a fife and drum band. So that was really, it was thanks to the Christian Brothers I got started in the music.
And what instrument did you take up first?
The tin whistle.
Right.
Well, my father, of course, he comes from Gart, you know, he's 2 miles from where Joe Cooley comes from.
Okay.
So you go down, when you're going to Gart, you know you turn left there at Luke Kelly's pub? He's 2 miles out that road on the Lochray Road.
Oh, churches, I know it well.
Yeah, so, and Maxie was telling me, your friend Maxie that hooked us up together there, that if you kept on going through that road, you come to Lochray.
That's
and then
right.
You come out the farther side of that.
Yeah, out near Kilreakle.
Exactly.
I know, it's God's own country, County Galway.
Oh, sure, there you go now.
I knew you had good blood in you. So, what enticed you, or what attracted you about traditional music?
Oh, sure, Jesus, it's in the blood, isn't it? I mean, you know, the first memories I have, I often think about what's the very first memory I have. The first memory I have was a travelling banjo player who used to come into the pub in Castlebar, and he was a small little fellow with a cap and a white, dirty raincoat. And he used to travel around. He was a knight of the roads, as we used to say, as they used to say in those days. And he used to travel around from town to town, and he'd stay in the county home. But my mother, he'd come in. I was only, sure, whatever age I was. I was born in 1951. So this would be 1955, 56, 57. He'd come in. There was a fire in the car, in straight across from the counter. And it was a stone floor, a flag floor, as much as I remember. There was a snug and a tap room, and it was a small little pub. And he'd come in, and he'd stand there, and there'd be a few customers maybe at the bar, and he'd play the banjo. And he'd pass the hat, and my mother give him a glass of Guinness or something.
Right.
And a glass of porter, and he'd go on to the next pub. So you can imagine what he was like by the time he got down to the county hall.
I can indeed. So
Snooky Elwood was his name.
Right.
And that would have been, and then I ended up playing the banjo myself when I lived in Galway. That was my instrument of choice, as they say. Although these days I'm playing a bit of everything here in Santa Fe.
So you know, when you say when you were in Galway you played the banjo, I know that when you did go to Galway you were heavily involved in the music scene there.
Yeah, well, what happened was, you know, after the Leaving Cert, after I went finished school, I went to England, and I was working for Wimpy's on the buildings, you know, like a young... like a lot of young Irish fellas. So I took the boat over to England, which was, of course, is a big part of the music, as you know yourself, the songs and the immigration and that whole ethic is all over the music, all going all the way back.
And of course, Christy Hennessy was a real product of that environment.
Right, exactly, yeah, exactly. And so I ended up down in Cheltenham in Gloucestershire, and I was tipping around the folk scene. I bought a mandolin, and I started learning off Dubliners records, and I had the fife and drum band training like before me, so I was playing the whistle, and we had a little trio, and we used to play at the folk clubs. And in the early 70s in Cheltenham in Gloucestershire in the West Country, there was a great folk scene, you know, great folk clubs with English folk singers and Irish fellas coming through. I remember hearing Sean Cannon one night singing unaccompanied at the Victory Folk Club, and Packy Burden, the famous old-time tin whistle player, who I believe is still alive. And so anyways, after 2 years, I came back to Ireland and decided to go back to school, and I had this idea about going to the university in Galway. I don't know where I got it. But anyways, I ended up coming back and doing Irish again for a year, and I went up to Galway, and that's where I fell in with all these misfits from all over Ireland and all the traditional musicians, the famous guys and the not-so-famous guys and the characters. And there was a whole gang of us then, and Irish music was becoming, you know, popular and new, and we were all learning off each other. Some of us had formal musical training and some of us didn't, and some spoke Irish and native Irish and some spoke what they call book Irish.
Yes.
And it was a great time, you know.
So who were on the scene, or what... Who was around Galway at that time?
I'll never forget. The two major influences on my playing, and I'd have to say it, would be a fella called Peter Galligan, who was studying medicine at the university, and a fella called Mickey Finn, the famous fiddle player, or the infamous Mickey Finn, who died, unfortunately, when he was 35, because he had one pint of Guinness too many.
Right.
And unfortunately, and I'm off the drink a long time now myself. I was lucky. But a lot of us, thank God, you know, there was a lot of drinking, and a lot of us got hooked. But thank God, a lot of us got out of it.
Right.
So we managed to leave it behind us. And anyway, so They would be the two. The first time I ever heard Peter Galligan playing, I was at the Tormachady Festival, and the Chieftains were playing, and these two fellas came up before them. This would have been 1973, after I came back from England, and these two fellas came up on the stage. Terry Smith, who it turned out later was a ballad singer who played with Mickey Finn in Galway, and they were the hub of the tradition of the folk scene and the traditional scene to some degree in Galway at the time. And they had a band. They used to call themselves Dickler Fitz, and everything kind of revolved around their session.
Right.
But anyway, this night Peter Gallagher was playing the mandolin, and Terry sang a few songs and played the guitar, and I can still remember the tune that Pete played. And then when I ended up in Galway a year later, I went to meet him, and we've become great friends, and there's a picture of him on my website, and we're still in touch, and he'll be picking me up at the airport in July when I go over to see my mother.
Right.
He's driving a taxi there now and lives in Carden Bridge. His father was actually one of the founder members of Coates Kill Tory Eirden in the 50s, you know.
Right.
He was a doctor in Cavan. So then, and then there was an old time fiddle player called Tommy Nolan, who played at O'Malley's. There was Noel Sherlock, he was a singer, and his friend Shawnee Francis. And then there was the traditional players, Eddie Maloney, the flute player, whose sons still live and play there, Sean and Kieran. And there was Mrs. Cullen's Bar was the place for the trad music then, down off the square near the Great Southern. But the hub of the kind of folk scene, or the, I suppose for want of a better word, the bohemian scene then, the Planksty types for want of a better word,
right,
would have been the Cellar Bar.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that's where you remember that yourself.
I know where the cellar is, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I got to meet the ball, and then what happened to me, I came back from England, and I went back to Castlebar, and I spent a year there, and a Dublin man came down from Dublin and bought a pub, and he asked me would I start playing there. And sure then, because the music was new and everybody was, Irish music was just on the crest of a new wave, as it were, and I started playing. The next thing, he knocked the Martha off the walls and put a big pot on the fireplace that he discovered behind the wall, a big old medieval type fireplace, and he put a big huge pot and filled it with crew beans.
Right.
Pig's feet.
Yep.
When I'd be playing there, and the place became the inn place, and I played there for a year, and then I decided to go back up to Galway. And I suppose I had managed to learn a certain few tunes that got me into the circle in Galway then, you know.
Jerry, we're going to take a little break and play some music, and you have two CDs, and one of them I know is The Hurling Boys.
Yeah, right, that was the last one. Well, that's why The Hurling Boys, my father was he loved hurling. And on the front of that CD, there's a photo that I found in the house. And it was the Castlebar hurling team. But sure, none of them, there was never hurling in Mayo.
Right.
They were all fellas from Clare and Galway and, you know, probably Tipperary and Kilkenny, a few of them.
Right.
They were all...
imports.
Immigrants to Castlebar. And so then there's a tune called The Hurling Boys. So I put the photograph on the front and dedicated it to him. And he died 18 months ago, I'm sorry to say, but he heard it before he died, you know.
You are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM, and this is Jerry Carthy and The Hurling Boys, and we'll be back with you after this piece of music. You're listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron, and I'm talking to Gerry Carthy, and Gerry is out in Santa Fe. He's originally from Castlebar and honed his skills on the music scene in Galway in the 70s. Gerry, after you did hone your skills in Galway, what brought you out to this side of the Atlantic?
Yeah, well, that's a good, that's the $64,000 question. Sure, everybody in Ireland wants to come to America, I think, you know. I think it's in the memory. It's in the, probably goes back to the famine and times like that.
Right.
Because it's kind of synonymous with the, you know, a way up and out of the problems.
Like had you any family over here?
Yes and no. They were very second cousins of third uncles twice removed from aunts, kind of thing.
So
you
then,
know what I mean?
Right, well then, were any of your Galway buddies already over here?
Oh, well now, funny, Sean Turtle, who's getting a lot of attention these days, he's actually arriving here on Friday. I'm picking him up at the airport. I got him a gig at the College of Santa Fe.
Right.
And he's been coming and going since the 60s. And he's doing his one-man tour at the moment. And he was always coming and going to America, and right. I had always wanted to go, but I just couldn't get it together, you know. The old drink puts a damper on that. You kind of never get anything together when there's drink involved when you're drinking too much. Drink is fine, but you know it was getting ridiculous for us at that stage.
Right.
And so when I stopped that, I decided, oh, jeepers, what now?
Yeah.
So I had always wanted to come to America, and I had this thing about working my way across America. So there was a priest, funny enough, you're up there now in Canada. There was a priest called, some of your listeners might even have heard of him or known him in Toronto. He was Paddy Flatley, Father Paddy Flatley. And his brother, he was from Kinvara, County Clare, and he sang and played the guitar. And when I came back from Ireland that time, we used to all congregate in different pub in Mayo every 2 weeks, and we were all learning, and Paddy had come back from Nigeria, and he was still a priest in Ballinafad College at the time. Well, anyways, to make a long story short, he went out to Toronto, and I went out to visit him, but 1 year he came home, and he had a friend with him from Connecticut. So this man from Connecticut, Terry O'Grady, says to me, if you're ever in the States, you can stay with us. So I ended up staying with Terry in Connecticut, and I drove his truck and painted houses for him and, you know, just potted around and said...
Yeah, I understand with your group of friends and yourself, those kind of loose invitations are dangerous.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Well, sad and all as I was, the fella I had from Clare with me, it was Cat altogether, I believe, you know what I mean?
Right.
But that's another story. But we're still good friends, the Clare man and myself, and he's now in the Canary Islands.
So how'd you get over to Santa Fe?
So then I bought an old Pontiac from a neighbor of Terry's who played the guitar and sang. And I said, San Francisco, here we come. Because I'm a friend of Mick Black and Shea Black. I used to know them in the 70s in Dublin. Mary Black is their sister.
Yeah,
she's
and Karen.
Davis. Right, well, anyways, the two brothers live in San Francisco. And I knew, and I had already visited Mick and stayed with him and played with him there when I had... on a previous occasion, because after 3 years in Santa Fe, I decided to go back to Ireland, and I did. I drove out to San Diego, drove up to Seattle, and went back to Ireland, but I couldn't do it anymore, and I came back to Santa Fe. So what happened was I bought this old Pontiac in Connecticut and headed west via Florida. And there's a guy down in Florida who played the accordion, and he was from Galway, and I knew him in the Galway days. And I was down there laying concrete for a while and roofing and, you know. And I met a fella who played a bit on the flute, and I invited him over to the house for a cup of tea. So he said, Judy Max, that's great stuff altogether you're doing there. If you go to San Francisco, says he, go through Santa Fe and look up my friend Johnny Lyons.
Right.
I said, you're on. So I sent Johnny Lyons a tape and a record. I said, and a letter. I said, I might be coming through Santa Fe, and eventually I went to New Orleans, and I was working in a nursery in Austin for a while.
Gerry, I have to ask a question before we get any farther.
Yeah. did I'm nearly at the end of
no,
the
no,
trail.
No. Did you do geography at school?
Very good. I did, but I gave up history.
Okay.
But anyways, to make a long story short, I arrived in on Johnny's doorstep, and the first thing he says to me was, "Do you know Fred Johnston?" And Fred Johnston, I played with him in Galway, and he's a fairly well-known writer and won the Hennessy Award one year. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
No.
Anyway, so that's how I ended up in Santa Fe, and then I was here 6 weeks and I got hit by a truck.
Okay.
And I've been here, well, the Pontiac got hit by a truck. And I've been here since. And when I had the money, and I was running out of money as well, and when I had the money to go, I looked around and I said, well, sure, why would I want to leave here? It's a lovely place.
Yeah.
And then I got a gig. My first winter here, I was painting a house.
Right.
Painting houses. And then I got a gig and another gig and another gig. And sure, I'm at the music now for 21 years here.
And
I like it here. It's small, you know.
And as we said at the start of the program, you are a professional musician. So I want to catch up a bit on your career. But again, what we'll do is we'll take another musical interlude.
All right, lovely.
And what we'll do
it's great that you called me. It's hello to everybody in Canada.
Jerry, look, we'll take a track from the other CD.
Right, okay.
What would you like us to play?
Well, it's hard to know, you know, but I'll tell you, on all those travels that I was telling you about, I ended up just March past playing at the Eugene Festival in Oregon. And I met a guy from there in Galway 25 years ago, and we stayed in touch. So on the Eugene website for the Irish Festival, Pete Helzer is his name. He's a sculptor up there. He picked up track six, two jigs, Barney Brannigan and Ride a Mile. And there, when you look at the photographs of the Eugene Irish Cultural Festival, they put that track as the backing track, you know.
And
so maybe you might like to hear that.
And that's what we're going into. So we'll be back with you in a short moment. This is Austin Cummerton here talking to Jerry Carthy on the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM. Thank you. are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Comerton, and we'll be back with you shortly.
The little Irish village with the heart and crown is the ideal place to find a good pint in a warm atmosphere. A snug pub, cosy, well-appointed alehouse with an inviting fireplace and intimate coves for small groups. Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, the Black Rose, complete the Irish village. Sit on the patio, enjoy the buzz of the market. If it's a planned party or a casual visit, the Irish village is the ideal spot. Music, food and drink in a welcoming atmosphere. It can only be the Irish village.
One man set himself the task 10 years ago of recording some of the old ways of farming that have virtually disappeared in his own lifetime. Michael Lyons from the parish of Taghmaconnell in South Roscommon.
This is the parish of Taghmaconnell in South Roscommon. I was born here. In the late 40s, my father was farming and out working for hire with horses, cutting hay and corn. At that time, most of the work on the farm was done by horses, except for the thrashing, which was done by either steam or tractor. In the early 50s, the tractor became more popular and the horse started to disappear off the land. My father taught me the old ways of farming, and this video shows some of these old ways, as well as the transition from horse to tractor and other aspects of life in rural Ireland at that time.
To purchase your copy of the Old Ireland DVD, visit www.thegaelichour.ca and follow the links.
Tickets are on sale now for Irish music sensation Daniel O'Donnell, Monday, May 26th at Scotiabank Place.
My love for you.
Join Daniel and special guest Mary Duff for an evening of favorite melodies, easy listening, 60s rock, country and western hits, and beautiful Irish ballads. Daniel O'Donnell, May 26th at Scotiabank Place. Get your tickets now, 613-599-3267, or visit capitaltickets.ca. Capital Tickets outlets are the Scotiabank Place box office.
Welcome back to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM. Here's Daniel O'Donnell and the 40 Shades of Green.
I close my eyes and picture the emerald of the sea from the fishing boats at Dingle to the shores of Dundee. I miss the River Shannon and the folks at Skibbereen, the moorlands and the meadows with their 40 shades of green. But most of all I miss a girl in Tipperary town, and most of all I miss her lips as soft as eiderdown. Again I want to see and do the things we've done and seen, where the breeze is sweet as Shalimar and there's 40 shades of green. I wish that I could spend an hour at Dublin's churning Sir. I'd love to watch the farmers drain the bog and spit the turf, to see again the patching of the straw the women gleam. I'd walk from Cork to Larne to see 40 shades of green. But most of all I miss a girl in Tipperary town, and most of all I miss her lips as soft as eiderdown. Again I want to see and do the things we've done and seen, where the breeze is sweet as Shalimar and there's 40 shades of green, where the breeze is sweet as Shalimar, and there's 40 shades of green.
Welcome back to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron, and I am talking to Gerry Carthy, and Gerry is out in Santa Fe, and we've been hearing about his musical career, and we've played two tracks from two of his CDs. Gerry, what as a professional musician in the music scene in Central America and the West, towards the West Coast, how are you finding the scene, and how are you finding the festival scene and the whole aspect of Irish music in North America?
Right. Well, of course, I'm kind of isolated out here. Do you know what I mean? I'm in New Mexico, and there's no such thing as sessions, for example. If I had a dollar for every telephone call I get from people passing through asking me where the sessions are, because there's not the population here in Santa Fe, you know.
Right.
There's only a few Irish people. It's not that I know them all. And none of us talk to each other. we're always fighting. But, or arguing. I'm only joking. But, at the moment, it's a tough game. Like, funny, I was telling you there earlier on, like, I just got a call yesterday that two of my weekly gigs have been discontinued, which was a word that was used to Pat Broderick, the piper, and myself once in Galway. Pat always got a kick out of that. He said, from now on, this gig is discontinued. It was a big joke for a long time, but... Anyway, but that's the way it goes, you know, and no forewarning or anything. And
but you mentioned
we packed the place on St. Patrick's Day. All of a sudden, you're out. So,
yeah.
But I'm teaching part time at the College of Santa Fe, and they have a very good music department.
Okay.
And I have private students, you know, and then you see, besides Irish music, I play other things as well. I was always like I played in a local Dixieland band for 10 years.
Okay.
So I learned how to play a 4-string banjo in a Dixieland band, you know.
Right.
So one woman I teach, and I play a lot of tenor guitar these days. On those CDs, there's a lot of tenor guitar.
Okay.
Because it's kind of like, so in restaurants now, I'd be playing kind of background music, but I'd be playing airs. You know, it's classic airs like She Moved Through the Fair and Carrick Fergus, but in a kind of on a tenor guitar with through a small amplifier.
Okay.
It'd be almost like a jazz guitar player playing jazz standards, but I'm a 4-string guitar player playing Irish standards.
Well, when I ask in sense of the music scene, you mentioned that you've been at the festival in Oregon.
Right.
Have you done much other on the
Not
festival
really.
Scene?
No, I'd like to get a shot at it, but you see, I'm a dark horse and nobody knows about me, and in one way, I'd like to keep it that way, but in another way, it's nice to get a little, get a little bit of attention, but I need that, what I mean is to get it, to be able to present the music to people in a situation that it's not where they can hear it.
Right.
Where
I
they
know.
Can, yeah. In other words, unadorned. And people love what I do because there's such variety, because
yes.
I play a lot of different instruments.
Yeah,
and
like you don't need to be competing with the noise of a bar.
Exactly. So getting up to Oregon, those festivals in Oregon, was like I opened for the Black Brothers now at the University Hall there in March, and it was a lovely gig.
Right.
And I played the tenor guitar and the low and the tin whistle, and you know, just bare no, just there on my own, and it was the sound man got a great sound, and it was just the bare music, and I got a great response. I've been up there twice. My friend Pete, his daughter learnt off my tapes when she was growing up, so they have a teenage Celtic band, and they're very, very good. And she plays the banjo, and she's fantastic. And but you know, then there's the river dance syndrome, which
yes.
for Irish musicians is another story altogether.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, you know, not to be knockers or anything, because when I saw it first, it sent the shivers up my spine when I saw the 12-minute show, the 12-minute thing before they made the show out of it. But
right.
It was really fantastic. But,
so Gerry, in
it has become Hollywoodized, as somebody said to me.
So if we were able to get you this side of the border or something, and you know, if there happened to be a bed available, you might be interested in.
Oh, geez, that'd be great. Yeah. Oh, I'd love to do that. I wouldn't like to do too many festivals because I have a wife and a young kid here. You know.
I know.
6-year-old. But
right.
But the thing is, one year I spent all the money, and the three of us went and had a holiday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great altogether. I mean,
one never knows.
You never know. And what I do as these festivals, I do a tin whistle workshop, an Irish language workshop, and I can do a beginner's fiddle workshop as well, and do a concert. And this year, Pete got me a house concert. So I did a house concert on Thursday night at his house. And then on the Saturday, Friday I opened for the Blacks. And on Saturday at the school, I did two workshops and I did a small performance. So, you know, I earned my money.
I have to mention here that you may not be aware, but the only Gaeltacht outside of Ireland is about an hour and a half from here.
You're joking me.
No, it's in Tamworth in Ontario, and it has been opened up, and it is the only Gaeltacht outside of Ireland. And
there are plenty of Irish speakers up there then.
We have a lot of Irish speakers, and there are
Irish teachers.
There's every Monday night, Coltus here has Irish language classes as well.
Oh, sure, that's great, Ottawa.
And in the University of Ottawa, the Irish language is taught also.
Who's teaching it?
Oh, there's in the under the Faculty of Celtic Studies, part of the program is the Irish language.
Of course, yeah.
So it's a thriving area up here.
Yeah.
For and in Montreal, there's a chair of Irish studies, Toronto, Halifax. So the that aspect of culture is quite alive in this part of the world.
Oh, so, yeah.
So when we can entice you up here.
Oh, that'd be great.
That there'll be a lot of people who probably would be very much in the genre that you're in.
Oh yeah, my theory is if I stay alive long enough, eventually they'll have to ask me to go to these festivals all over America. That's all I have to do, just stay alive.
Well, with Gerry Carthy, we're going to wrap up here, and I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to
sure.
me.
It's great to hear from you. This is great altogether, I mean.
And we'll play another track and from one of the CDs. What would you suggest to me here?
The Harlem Boys, wait till we see. Jenny Max, you know, it's hard to know. I mean, let's do this. You know that fella I was telling you about who used to come into the pub?
Yes.
Stucky Elwood.
Yes.
It was reputed that he married a lady of high renown. And no, this we never knew about this, but that's what I heard. But he went on the road with the banjo, and that was it. But and left her behind. But he used to play a tune called "The Darling Girl from Clare."
Yes.
Now I found this out later from a customer years later who told me that he used to play that. So on the CD, I sang the Darling Girl from Clare and played the banjo. And I played the banjo with what they call a thimble, which is a little piece of round cylindrical pipe, because that's the way they used to do it in those days, the traveling people.
Right.
And it was kind of it was in memory of him, you know what I mean? And so maybe you might want to play that one if you like, that's The Darling Girl from Clare.
And this is The Darling Girl from Clare from the Harlem Boys by Gerry Carthy, and you are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin, 97.9 FM. Gerry Carthy, thanks a million for coming on to the show.
Austin, keep in touch and tell your listeners to look at the website, and if they have any questions, they're welcome to email me.
What is the website?
Oh, it's www, I love saying that, it's only brand new, you know, dot Gerry Carthy. Now it's Gerry with a G, that's very important, Gerry with a G, Carthy, C-A-R-T-H-Y, no Mac. Because I say to people, my name is Gerry. What's your name? Oh, Gerry Carthy. Oh, Mr. McCarthy. So nice to meet you. Everybody wants to say the Mac, you know. So it's www.gerrycarthy.com.
And
there's a photograph on there of all the crowd from the old days in Galway.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Gerry Carthy, Slánga fáil, go raibh maith agat.
Austin, great to hear from you. Keep in touch now, right?
We will do.
All right. Bye.
And I get married till then one day, and Kate did drink up my eye. Sure, she had the makings of a fairy, I really do declare. There's not another girl in the whole wide world like the darn girl from Clare. Every man has got the finest man you'll ever see now, barring me now.
Every day there's one of them will say she'll agree now, you'll see now. All night they fight till the witch of them is right about the colour of her eyes and hair. There's not another girl in the whole wide world like the darling girl from Clare. Well, so speaking to her father I'd be blazing, and I tell him of the land I've tilled. Tell him of the cattle I'll be grazing, and the house that I mean to build. When she sees the arable pasture and the fat start breeding there, all the hens and the chickens they can go to the digging for the darling girl from Clare. Every man has got the finest man you'll ever see now, bar me now. Every day there's one of them will say she'll agree now, you'll see now. All night they fight just to which of them is right about the colour of her eyes and hair. Not another girl in the whole wide world like the darling girl from Clare. Well, I never said a single word about her, but I met that girl today. Told her I could never live without her, and what did she to say? She said I should go and see her mother, and I asked her then and there. In less than an hour we were fighting for the dowry of the darling girl from Clare. Every man got the finest man you'll ever see now, bar me now. Every day there's one of them will say she'll agree now, you'll see now. All night they fight and the witch of them is right about the colour of her eyes and hair. There's not another girl in the whole wide world like the darling girl from Clare.
You are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM, and this is Austin Cummerton. And on Tuesday, May 13th at 7 p.m, Des Kennedy will be in from the West Coast giving a presentation on the Gardens of Ireland, and that's been hosted by the Ottawa Botanical Garden Society and the Barrhaven Garden Club. And Des lives out west in the Pacific side of Canada. Des Kennedy, welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Hello, Austin. Thank you.
So you're due in here on Tuesday the 13th at St. Paul's High School, talking about the Gardens of Ireland. What will you be covering and what gardens? And tell us a bit about yourself.
All right, I'll start with myself then. I live out on a little island called Denman Island on the west coast of Canada, just off Vancouver Island. Wonderful things happen on the west coast of continents, as you know, so Ireland's one of those and Denman Island's another one. So I'll be sliding over to Ottawa by train on next week, and I hope to be giving a double presentation, a slideshow on the Gardens of Ireland, followed up by a satirical piece called The Seven Deadly Sins of Gardening, which tackles some of the issues that come up in the gardening life.
Sounds
to me. As for the Gardens of Ireland, I was lucky enough to lead a garden tour in Ireland in 2002 and then again in 2003, and following each of those tours, my partner and I rented a car and went off camping for a month or so and exploring the back lanes and alleyways of the place. So the slideshow will encompass both some of the great gardens of Ireland, some private gardens that are virtually unknown, and also some of the landscapes of that gorgeous place.
What parts of Ireland did you visit and what gardens, noteworthy gardens particularly?
We started the first year around and focused primarily around the Dublin area. And we went to classic gardens like Helen Dillon's Great Garden in Dublin City, which is a world-famous garden, Royal Botanical Garden Society named it one of the 50 finest private gardens in all of Europe. And Helen's well known to many gardeners as a plant person, an author, television personality, and just a magnificent gardener. So that was a total highlight of both tours. We also went down to Powers Court, south of Dublin, of course, and in the Wexford Hills, and that's a grand estate, one of the classic Anglo-Irish estates, and done magnificently, 50-plus acres, gorgeously landscaped, interestingly containing many of the great conifers of the Pacific Northwest, for which there was a grand fad in Ireland on the big estates for importing some of our Canadian native trees in the mid-late 1800s. Oh, and then down through County Wexford, there's a gorgeous garden down there called the Bay Garden, which we visited, a little private garden. Out on the West Coast, we did less gardening out there and more landscape, but nevertheless ran into some beautiful places up through there. And then again, we just did a little bit into the north of Northern Ireland, and there we went to Mount Stuart, which is one of the British National Trust's prized possessions. Again, a stunningly beautiful estate that we visited. On the second year, we went down to, we did Dublin as well, the Dublin area, but we also went down to Cork and headquartered down in Cork and went out to Kilkenny and saw some of the great estates and also some of the great private gardens, Fota House and Kilkenny House and a number of those down through the south and southwest.
So I take it during all of these trips, you were camera happy.
Very much so, yes, as was everybody else on the troop. And the first year we went, 2002 was a bit of a gloomy year. In fact, there was a lot of damage. 80% of the apple crop was lost. A lot of the hay crop was lost, etc. But the second year we went, 2003, was the same year there was that dreadful heat wave, you remember, that afflicted so many people in Paris, killed a lot of people. Well, at that point, Ireland was on the edge of that high pressure, and the temperatures were extraordinarily warm, and we barely had a drop of rain throughout the 6 or 7 weeks that we were there, and the skies were blue, and there was puffy white cumulus clouds, and the landscape was a shimmering, brilliant green. And the pictures from that expedition particularly are quite startling.
So, Des, I take it like you're not just going to take a train trip across Canada to come to Ottawa. You do a lot of traveling and you do a lot of speaking in various locations?
Yes. In fact, I'm not taking the train all the way across, much as I would love to do so. I don't have the time for it. Now, I'm flying into Toronto and I actually have a number of speaking bookings in or around the Toronto, Oshawa, Hamilton area.
Okay.
And I have one day there where I'll be hopping on the train from Oshawa to get up to Ottawa and have a talk up there.
I find it interesting you say you'll be covering the seven deadly sins of gardening. Sounds like a very earthy presentation.
It's earthy to the point of being a bit scurrilous, so not for the tenderest of ears.
Okay.
But great good fun when we're dealing with pride and envy and anger and sloth and all of the deadly sins. And I also, of course, focus on the corresponding virtues, humility and chastity, etc. So we cover the gamut.
They nearly sound like flowers.
Sorry?
They sound like flowers.
Well, yes. The language might get flowery. It's a nice thing to just have a lot of fun with, and I know gardeners enjoy it immensely, poking fun at themselves.
Right. Well, Des, I don't want to take too much more of your time, and I do want to thank you for taking the phone call. And again, the date that you're here is Tuesday, May 13th, and it's at 7 p.m. And
could I just add one thing, Austin? I've been informed that the Irish ambassador, Mr. Declan Kelly,
yes,
is apt to be in attendance and will probably say a few words as well.
Excellent. And it is St. Paul's High School Auditorium, which is on 265 Draper Avenue. And I see here that it's for members of the Ottawa Botanical Garden Society and the Barrhaven Garden Club, it's a $7 admission. And for general public It's $15. So to get some tickets for that, you can give a call to 613-747-0600 or email the event coordinator at ottawagarden.ca. That's event coordinator at ottawagarden.ca. Des Kennedy, thank you very much indeed for coming on the Gaelic Hour, and I hope you have a wonderful visit to Ottawa and that you have a fun evening on Tuesday, May 13th.
Thanks so much, Austin. I'm sure I shall, and thanks for having me on.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, we're at the end of another show here on Chin 97.9 FM, and this is Austin Cameron. Hoping that you enjoyed tonight's program. Do come back tomorrow night. Mary will be here with a music-filled program. I'll be back next Monday night, and my guests will be John Doyle. And John is the TV critic with the Globe and Mail. And John wrote a book called A Great Feast of Light, Growing Up in Ireland in a Television Age. A wonderful book about growing up in the early years in Nina, and then in Carrick and Shannon, and moving to Dublin. And I'm looking forward to interviewing John and sharing that with you. Before I go, I do want to express my thanks to the Irish Village for their continued support. And until tomorrow night, when Mary is here, slán go fóill.